الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف. Honorable brothers in attendance and viewers at home, there are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salat ala Nabi, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our master, our intercessor, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, we are told that there was a very sinful individual, a transgressor of the highest order. And he was from one of the previous nations, one of the previous ummas. Now when he passed away, when he died, because of people's dislike towards him, they just wrapped his body and threw it in a heap of dirt, a heap of rubbish. They dishonored the body basically. Now the prophet of that time, he sent revelation that go and perform the funeral rites of that person, meaning the janazah, ghusl, shroud, burial, etc. Now this Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked in the court of Allah azza wa jal that the people despise him, the people dislike him, they don't consider him worthy of having proper funeral rites, and this is why they've thrown his body in a heap of rubbish. But Ya Allah, what is the wisdom behind you commanding me to lead his janazah and perform his funeral rites, his burial? Allah Ta'ala replied and said, what the people are saying is true, that he is a grave sinner, he is a transgressor. For 200 years he sinned and disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whenever he would open the scripture of the time, the Tawrat Sharif, and he would see the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inside it, he would kiss the name, he would respect the name, and he would honor the name. Because of this, I have forgiven his sins, because of this adab of his, because of this respect and reverence towards the name of my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have forgiven his sins, and not only that, I have married him to 70 hoors of paradise. Dear brothers in Islam, viewers of Madini Channel, think for a moment. This person disobeyed Allah for how many years? 200 years. But because of his love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would see the name of Muhammad alayhi salam in the Tawrat Sharif, he would kiss it. He would show respect to it. And what was the blessing that he attained? Allah Ta'ala forgave him and commanded the Nabi of the time to lead his janazah. Now think for a moment. We are ummatis of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We are his devotees. If we show respect to his blessed name, if we love him alayhi salatu wassalam to the extent that we follow him, we adopt his sunnahs, we follow the sharia that he came with, then no doubt Allah Ta'ala will bless us as well. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq to respect, honor and love our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one great way of doing so is by remembering the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reciting Salat ala Nabi. A very simple, few wordings, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It only takes a second or two to recite those kalimat. But the rewards will be immense, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all ability to remember our beloved by reciting Salat upon him in abundance. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Honorable brothers, in the short time we have, we'll be hearing about the importance of valuing our blessings. It's a famous saying, you may have heard it many times before. A blessing or the value of a blessing is only truly known once it departs. If somebody was blessed with a particular bounty, a quality, a characteristic, or wealth, or knowledge, whatever it may be, once that departs, for example, somebody had a lot of knowledge, but then he suffered from memory loss, he will realize the importance of that knowledge because now it's gone. Similarly, wealth, when somebody has the blessing of wealth, and with that wealth he can spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can help his fellow Muslims. When he loses that wealth, if he loses it, he will truly value it then. That I could have done this, I could have done that. Similarly, all of the blessings that we have, if we were to ponder, many a times we're ungrateful. Many a times we fall negligent. And one main reason behind that is because we're always comparing ourselves to others. We're always looking at others. We're always yearning for more. And if truth be told, we forget to appreciate the blessings that we have because of those blessings that we yearn to have. Meaning, if you have a house, you'll be looking at the next person's house. Or he has a bigger house. It's in a more posh area. It costs more. Look at the car he drives. And instead, we don't realize that the blessing that we have is somebody else's dream. People would love to have what we have, but we're always looking at others. Now, listen to an account in this regard about how our elders, our pious predecessors, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, how closely they would look at and analyze the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal has given them. This incident is narrated by Sayyiduna Malik bin Anas, rahmatullahi ta'ala. He says there was an individual named Sayyiduna Yunus bin Yusuf, rahmatullahi alayhi. He was a renowned wali of his time. Everybody knew him for his sainthood. And he used to spend most of his time in the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engaged in worship, recitation of the Quran, and other noble acts. Once what happened, he was coming out of the masjid, when by accident, unintentionally, his eyesight fell upon a na-mahram woman, an unrelated woman. Now, as soon as his eyesight fell upon that woman, he averted his eyesight and he made a supplication in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this shows his level of taqwa, his level of piety as well. He said, Ya Allah, you have given me the ni'mah, the blessing of eyesight, the blessing of seeing. But I fear that this very same blessing, this eyesight, might land me into trouble. I may end up looking at something which is impermissible. So, Ya Allah, I plead to you, remove this eyesight from me. This was the level of his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I'm fearful that these eyes may land me into trouble. I may receive punishment because of this eyesight, so remove my eyesight. Allah ta'ala accepted his dua straight away, his mustajabu da'wat, and his eyesight was removed. Now think for a moment, when somebody's eyesight is removed, how difficult would life be? All you have to do is close your eyes and think, not even for long, for 1 minute maybe, how would you do your daily activities? And in this situation now, the Sharia even gives exemptions, dispensations, concessions as well. Meaning somebody who would go to the masjid and perform salah with jama'at now, if he's blind, then the ruling lessens. If he lives nearby the masjid, the ruling of whether jama'at is wajib or not, there's takhfif in that, there's concession in that. But this noble personality, Sayyiduna Yunus bin Yusuf, rahmatullahi alayh, even though his eyesight is gone now, the eyesight has been removed, he would still attend the masjid to perform salah with jama'at. How would he do so? He would seek the assistance of his nephew. He would ask his nephew to accompany him to the masjid. He was a young child. So the nephew would go with his uncle, take him to the masjid, accompany him there, direct him there, guide him there. And then he would go and play with the children. The uncle would spend his time as before in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Allah azza wa jal. One day what happened? Sayyiduna Yunus bin Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi is performing ibadah as per normal. When he felt a creature on his body or in proximity to him, because he had lost his eyesight, he couldn't exactly ascertain what it was. So what he said, he shouted to his nephew. He called out to his nephew. But his nephew was engaged in playing with his friends that he couldn't even hear his uncle. The uncle is calling out to him. Now in this state, Sayyiduna Yunus bin Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi raises his hands again. Makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Ya Allah, initially I supplicated to you because my eyesight fell upon a woman unintentionally. And I did dua, Ya Allah, remove my eyesight lest it make me fall into trouble. You accepted that dua. But Ya Allah, now I make another dua that this eyesight, being deprived of it, may lead me into harm. There's a creature nearby, it might pain me, it might cause me harm. And I'm muhtaj, I'm dependent upon a lot of other people. This is causing me anguish now. Ya Allah Jalla wa Ala, restore my eyesight. And when the narrator states, the dua had not even been completed yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restored his eyesight, he could see. And without anybody's assistance, he saved himself from harm in that situation and returned home as well. Now the narrator Sayyidina Malik bin Anas rahmatullahi alayhi states, I saw him in both states, when he was blind and when he regained his eyesight as well. And then I saw that he would continue his routine, go to the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and worship Allah azza wa jal. Now from this very account, we can learn numerous points. Appreciate and do qadr of the blessings you have. This buzurg unintentionally looked at a woman. He came out of the masjid, a woman passed by, and sometimes you can't avoid it. It may just be before you. Someone may be passing right before your eyes. It's hard. You can't avoid that. But even then, he was so fearful, he said, Ya Allah, remove my eyesight. Today, the question is, how many of us are engaged in the sin of unlawful glancing? In this regard, listen to a hadith. Do not follow the first glance with a second. Meaning if your eyesight falls upon a woman, a non-mahram woman, unintentionally, avert your eyes and do not follow it with a second glance. Do not look again. The first glance is jaiz, permissible. The second glance is not. Let me explain that. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi says, the first glance being permissible means that when you mistakenly or unintentionally, your eyesight falls upon a woman. That's the meaning of it's permissible, because that was not in your control. And the second glance being impermissible refers to you continuously, again and again, could be second, third, fourth glance, looking at the same woman. And this time due to her beauty, due to her attraction. Now here, someone might try to be smart and say, what if a person looks at a woman just once, but he continuously looks at her? That's still counted as one glance, right? No. The scholars of Islam said, if you continuously look at a non-mahram woman, an unrelated woman, even if it's one glance, but you continue that glance, due to lust, due to her attraction, due to her beauty, then this is impermissible, and this is not counted as a permissible glance. Now this Buzurg rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, his eyesight was removed. But he continued going to the masjid. What happens with us? We have healthy hands, feet. We're not disabled. Many of us, alhamdulillah, we can walk fine. We can go where we want to. But how many of us visit the house of Allah on a regular basis? Friday prayer, yes, is fard. But all of the other prayers are fard as well. Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. And how come we're not seen in the masjid at that time? So we should learn from this pious saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you're healthy, you're able-bodied, Allah has blessed you in this regard, go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use your feet to walk to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every footstep you'll take, inshallah, will be a witness for you on the Day of Judgment. In the Quran, Allah ta'ala states so beautifully, Surah Nahl, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and if you were to try and enumerate the blessings of Allah, you will not be able to list them. If you were to try and count the blessings of Allah, you will not be able to. Now, just look at the human body. If we look at the blessings of the eye, or the ear, the hands with which we grip things, we grab things, the feet, you know, time would run out, but we would not be able to understand or enumerate fully the blessings just within a human body. And what about the blessings all around us, in the entire globe? So this is what the Mufassireen say, that time will run out. Humankind, even if they came together, they will not be able to list all of the blessings of Allah. Many new devices have been built, instruments and tools, many scientific advances we've seen, especially in the last few decades. But has there been any tool to tell you how many blessings there are of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has any device come to the market where you can understand how many blessings Allah has given you? No. Truth be told, every single blessing, every single breath rather, is a blessing. Every single day that we live is a blessing. But unfortunately, we are people who don't value our blessings. And again, unfortunately, we realize the value of those blessings when they're gone. When we become ill, we realize the blessings of good health. When we lose wealth, we realize the blessings of that wealth. We appreciate that wealth. So like this, it comes too late. Let's listen to another account, again from the lives of the awliya. Sayyiduna Imam Awza'i, a great imam of the past, rahmatullahi alayh, he states that one of our pious predecessors, one of our righteous elders from the Salihin, he related the following account to Sayyiduna Imam Awza'i, rahmatullahi alayh. He says, I was always anxiously in search of the noble awliya. I would try and seek the awliya, their company, to sit with them. And I would wander the deserts, the jungles, the mountains, just to avail their blessings. And he says, once for this very purpose, I headed towards Egypt, Misr. Because when I reached Egypt, I saw a tent in a deserted area. There was a person inside that tent, and he was supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was saying, Oh my Lord, I praise you with a praise equal to the praise of all your creation. Oh my Lord, indeed you are the creator of all creation and you are superior to all. I express gratitude to you upon you blessing me by favoring me upon many people amongst your creation. Now you might think this is normal. The awliya Allah makes such supplications. What's unique about this? Let me tell you what's unique about this. This person who was supplicating as such and asking Allah to give him the tawfiq, to praise him the way all of creation praises Allah, he was crippled. It's mentioned here that he had lost his hands, his feet, and even his eyes to leprosy. In that state, he is extolling and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this wali who is narrating it himself, he said, when I saw the state of that person, I thought to myself, by Allah, I'm going to ask this person whether he was instructed to make this dua, somebody taught this dua to him, or was he divinely inspired? He goes, I went towards him, towards the tent, and I greeted him with salam, and he replied. I said to him, O pious man, I want to ask you something. Will you answer me? He replied, if I know the answer, inshallah, I will answer you. I will give a reply. He asked him, which blessing is it that you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for? Meaning, bazahir, seemingly, you don't have any blessings. You've lost your hands. You lost your feet. You lost your eyesight. What's leading you to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a beautiful manner? And listen to the reply. He said, do you not see how my Lord Allah Azza wa Jal has dealt with me? He said, why not? I've seen everything. It's in front of me. You've lost everything. I can see that. What do you mean by this statement? Do you not see that how Allah Azza wa Jal has dealt with me? And listen to the reply, wisdom-filled reply of this pious person. He said, if Allah Almighty willed, He could have sent down fire from the sky that would burn me. This could have happened. I would have been turned into ashes. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, He could command the mountains to destroy me, or the ocean to drown me, and then the earth to swallow me. However, do you not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected me from all of these calamities? Nor is fire raining upon me, nor is the earth swallowing me, nor is the ocean drowning me, nor are the mountains crushing me. So why should I not express gratitude to my Lord Allah Azza wa Jal? Why should I not praise and love Him? So this is the thing that we need to keep in mind. What normally happens is, when we are blessed, ma'adhallah thumma ma'adhallah, what happens is, nafs, shaitan, they incite us towards sin. And the awliya Allah, when they would receive a blessing, they would use that blessing in obedience. Because they know that ni'mah, using it to obey Allah will please Allah. It will lead to an increase in that blessing. But if I use that blessing to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will displease Allah and I will be deprived of that blessing as well. And it's been observed time and time again. What happens when we have a child, a person passes an exam, aqiqah ceremony, a wedding ceremony, whatever the situation, we can't deny the fact that today all of these sacred ceremonies that Islam has given us, many, many sinful acts have been included in them. This is a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting married, completing half your iman, or when you're blessed with a child. But these same occasions where one should do dhikrullah, sadaqah, invite people, feed them, we do these things, but we must keep them distant from impermissible acts. But the same events and occasions, we see music being played, we see intermingling of genders, which Islam has forbidden. We see all sorts of things going on. Let's just listen to a few narrations in this regard, how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed us to refrain from such acts. And these narrations are in particular regarding music, which is becoming widespread. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this narration is found in Al-Kamil fi Du'afa'i Rijal. Two sounds are cursed in the world and the hereafter. Number one, the sound of musical instruments upon receiving a blessing. Meaning, we're going against this today. We're not supposed to play music when we receive a blessing. And we're told in the hadith that these sounds are cursed. That when you receive a blessing, you play music. It's happening. And number two, wailing at the time of calamity. Second narration, this is in Tariq ibn Asakir. Whoever sits with a songstress, meaning a female singer, and listens attentively, Allah Almighty will pour molten lead into his ears on the Day of Judgment. And here what happens is, people are sponsoring female musicians to come from all over the world. And then they'll hire out an event, a hall, they'll go to that event so happily, joyfully, sitting there listening to music. And look what the hadith is saying. The hadith is saying the opposite, that whoever sits with a female musician, listens to her songs attentively, Allah Almighty will pour molten lead in his ears on the Day of Judgment. And lastly, Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, save yourself from music and instruments as they incite desire. Destroy your sense of shame. And listen to what he said in the end. Allahu Akbar, he said, they are equivalent to alcohol and cause intoxication like it. That's not the topic of the bayan. This was an additional point that was mentioned. The topic of today's bayan, as you heard, was the importance of appreciating blessings, doing qadr of blessings. And we learned how the awliya Allah would do so. That this sight, it should not fall upon that which is impermissible. These ears should not listen to that which is impermissible. That is doing the qadr of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These hands should not do anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all your body we have been given, using that in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal is what leads to a person gaining more blessings and appreciating his blessings. But if we misuse these blessings, then we will only have ourselves to blame. And as he said, you only truly value a blessing when it's gone. You lose your health, then you realize the importance of health. You lose your wealth, you realize the importance of wealth. You lose your familial relationships, you break ties, later on you realize. So, doing qadr of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only lead to an increase in blessings. The famous ayah of the Quran you've heard time and time again, La in shakartum la azidannakum. Allah ta'ala says that if you are grateful, then I will most definitely increase your blessings. But opposite to this, conversely, Allah jalla wa ala says, Wala in kafartum inna adhabi la shadid. And if you are ungrateful, then my punishment is severe. So we need to ponder about these things. Do we do the qadr of the blessings that we have been granted? Or is it the case that, as I mentioned earlier, we are deprived of appreciating our blessings that we have because of the blessings that we want? We have a long list of blessings that we still want. And because of those blessings that we still yearn for and desire, we forget about the blessings that we have. I gave the example in the beginning about a house. You may live in a house and then you look at someone else's house and think, oh, I want that. And then you're always, you know, concerned, grief, worried, oh, why can't I have that? Whereas somebody else is desirous of having what you have. So it should never be the case that we devalue and we are unappreciative of the blessings that we have because of blessings that we want. Yes, we should pray for an increase in blessings, but it shouldn't come at the cost of being nashukar and being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah jalla wa ala grant us all tawfiq to be appreciative of the blessings and bounties that He has granted us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to preserve them. And the greatest way to preserve them is to use the blessings in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us the tawfiq to do all of this. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May Dawud Islami be glorious in every corner of the world for the sake.